right. Come on, church, one more time. Let's put our hands together. Welcome in, OP, all of our campuses, Annex. Want to say a big hello to you guys. Also want to remind everyone about next weekend because it's time change weekend, and we just want to motivate people to come to church as much as possible. Everyone that comes to church next weekend will get a free demo CD of one of the new songs that's coming out on our next Celebration Worship album that's coming out this fall. And so, you know, Jesus gave rewards to people. So I thought, you know, on the weekend, and I know with Sunday night it doesn't affect you guys that much, but we just want to do everything we can to get people in the house of God and always make God's house a priority. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to Luke chapter 4. I do want to remind everyone that I am in reserve mode, okay? So if you see me start to get excited and I intentionally calm myself down, that's a good thing, okay? I'm not even 4 weeks out of my heart surgery, and I'm just so grateful for the quick and speedy recovery, and I want to use wisdom, and you guys know how I can get excited when I preach. And so if you see me kind of get excited and calm down, you'll know what I'm doing, okay? Some people, they suggested, why don't you sit up in a stool? That's just going to make things worse, okay? If you're going to contain me and ask me to be calm, it's not going to work, okay? And so at least let me walk around a little bit. But we're kicking off a series called The Kingdom of God, and I'm really excited to teach on this subject. We're going to be teaching on this subject the entire month of March. You know, the subject of the kingdom of God is the most important subject in all of the Bible. And Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. You know, when Jesus came on the scene and he began to talk about the kingdom of God, that it was here and it's at hand and it's amongst us and it can be in you, he really shocked the Jewish people of that day, because the Jews, they had actually been using that term for a long time. And the Jewish people talked about the coming kingdom of God, but they thought that the kingdom of God was going to be the Messiah coming and actually establishing a physical rule on the earth, breaking the Roman rule off of them and establishing his rule on the earth. So when Jesus came on the scene and began talking about the kingdom of God, that it's here, that it's now, he took a very popular term, but he gave it new meaning. Are you following me? And to understand the kingdom of God is amongst us. The kingdom of God came in all of its fullness through Jesus. But even though the kingdom has come in all its fullness through Jesus, it is not yet fulfilled. It is not yet operating in its full power. And that won't come until Jesus comes back and sets up his physical rule on the earth. He has a 1,000-year millennial reign, and then he turns the keys to the kingdom over to the Father. Until that time, we are in a spiritual kingdom. It is not of this world. It is the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus came on the scene teaching. And you might say, well, Stovall, I'm new to all this, you know, the kingdom of God and all that. You know, what is it? How do I become part of the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3 that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The entrance into the kingdom of God, there's only one way, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gatekeeper. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is holding all the keys, and Jesus has all the authority. And the only way that you can enter in the kingdom of God is to have a spiritual birth as a child of God, and that only comes when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I have good news for you. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You have entered the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, just to give you a simple definition of the kingdom of God, and this is in your notes. There should be some fill in the blanks that you picked up when you came in if you want to follow along in your notes. The kingdom of God simply means the rule and reign of God, or it's wherever the rule and reign of King Jesus is. When you think of a kingdom, now here in America, we don't have a king and a kingdom. We have a democracy. We have a president. Well, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. Can I have a good amen to that? There is a king. He is King Jesus. The kingdom of God is right here and right now. When you receive Jesus into your life, the kingdom of God comes within you. Jesus establishes his rule and reign in your life, and he wants that rule and reign to now advance through you in the earth. That's why Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people lay hold of it. In other words, the kingdom of God, it's here, it's now, it's wherever the rule and reign of God is established, and it is always a kingdom that should be moving forward. We should be moving forward as individuals and as a church until Jesus returns and the kingdom of God is fulfilled in his return. Can I have a good amen to that? Are you following me? So watch this. This is very, very important. Jesus said this. So the kingdom of God here and now. Think about all those statements. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is among you. One time Jesus was casting out some demons, and the Pharisees began to accuse him of things. And Jesus said, you know, if I cast out demons by the power of God, then you know that the kingdom of God is among you. What Jesus was saying is, anywhere that you see the authority of God overpower the authority of Satan, you will know that the kingdom of God is present. And that's what the church is. Now, the church in the earth is now God's vehicle for the kingdom of God, where God exerts his authority over the authority of Satan. And every single time, just like talking about last weekend, 136 people gave their lives to Christ right here in celebration services. You know what happened? They came into the church. Their lives were under the authority of sin and Satan, and the authority of God overpowered that, and God brought them into his rule and his reign instead of the rule and reign of sin and Satan. Can you give God an amen to that? This weekend, tonight, many of you are going to give your lives to Christ. You're going to experience the kingdom of God. Many of you are going to be set free in an area of your life. You're experiencing the kingdom of God. You're experiencing God's rule and reign come into your life and his authority overpower the authority that Satan had or that sin had or that the world had. So that's what the church is all about. Us demonstrating the authority, the rule and reign of God, overpowering the rule and reign of Satan. That's why Jesus said, when speaking of his crucifixion and resurrection, he said, look, the ruler of this world is already judged. When Jesus died on the cross, he got the authority. He got the keys. That's why he says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He's holding all the cards. And when we accept Jesus Christ, now the rule and reign of God begins to move and advance in our lives. Can I have a good amen to that? Are you following me there? But listen, this is very important because a lot of people, when they think of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, and we think, oh, that's great. Yes, we come in, we experience God's power. God sets us free and we experience his dominion and his rule and we get set free of things, and that is true. But it goes beyond that. You know, God sets you free so you can be an instrument of freedom to others. Now this is why, and this will connect the dots to many of you. This is why when you read through the Bible, especially through the Gospels, you see so many parables and stories that Jesus is saying about how the kingdom of God must advance. You understand Father God as he's our Father. He loves us, but he is passionate about progress. He is passionate about production. He wants to see things accomplished. You know, when you think of a society, you know, you might have heard this, like here in America, you know, we talk about our society, okay? Well, God's kingdom, it's a society as well. And when there are people and, you know, if they don't work or they constantly break the law or, you know, whatever it is, they usually end up homeless or they usually end up in jail. What we say about those people is they're not being what? Productive members of society. They're not contributing anything to society. They're not working and helping the society. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. God wants you to be a productive member of His society. And I believe, unfortunately, in the church, there are too many of us in too many churches, and we have this idea that the kingdom of God, yeah, it's going to come one day when Jesus comes back. But now what we have are these little bless me clubs and these little, you know, Christian clubs. And it's just all about us. And you know, we just kind of come in and we feel good or whatever. Listen, you read the Gospels and you will see that Father God, that He's passionate about us producing. He wants to see progress in your life. God loves people, and once He sets you free, He wants you to be an instrument of freedom to others. We are Jesus' hands. We are Jesus' feet. And we have to get passionate. That's why Jesus said He was not only just about His Father. He said, I'm about my Father's business. There's a Father's business. This is why you see in the New Testament all the parables. Jesus about the kingdom of God. Every parable that you see about the kingdom of God has to do with production. It has to do with progress. It has to do with you gaining ground. The kingdom of God's like a sower. A sower that went out with seed and he scattered some over here and it kind of went to rocky soil. And this over here was on this other type of soil that the sun was burning up. But some seed he threw on good soil. And it produced a crop 30, 60, and 100 fold. It's all about production. Well, the kingdom of God, it's like a mustard seed, Jesus says. You know, it's the smallest of all the seeds. But when you plant that seed grows into a massive tree. It grows. It produces. It causes production and advancement in the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God, Jesus says, it's kind of like leaven. You know, you put some leaven in a lump of dough, and before you know it, that leaven has multiplied. Everybody say multiplied. And it's spread and it's advanced through all of the dough. That's what God wants His church to be. Wherever we are, man, we are like that seed, 30, 60, 100 fold. We're always progressing. We're like that mustard seed. Man, it doesn't matter whether we're a seed, a shrub, a tree, we should always be growing to the next level. We're like that yeast. We've got to think multiplication. Think about the 800,000 people in Jacksonville that were not in church this morning, not having a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are God's hand and God's feet. He's called us to advance His kingdom and bring His rule and His reign to their lives where they can experience the kingdom of God, which is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's all the stories that Jesus has about the talents for the kingdom of God. It's like a man who came and he gave this guy 5 talents. He gave this guy 2 talents. He gave this guy 1 talent. These first 2 guys, what did they do? They came back. They produced. They said, Lord, You gave me this. I made more. I made progress. I produce. What did Jesus say? Well done, good and faithful servant. How many of you want to hear well done, good and faithful servant? But what happened to the one? There was one, the guy that was given 1 talent. He comes back to Jesus. He didn't lose the talent. He just didn't produce. He didn't progress. You know what Jesus says? You wicked, lazy servant. Don't you understand the heart of God that we are in a temporary setup here on the earth as we know it, and it's our Father's heart that none should perish and all, but all should come to repentance, and we are His hands and we are His feet. God needs us to be a productive member in His kingdom society. That's why Jesus says in the Gospel of John, you know what glorifies my Father more than anything? How many of you want to live for the glory of God? You know what Jesus says? Well, you know what glorifies my Father more than anything? That you produce much fruit. Produce. That you produce much fruit. So here's the good news. We're talking about being a productive member of God's kingdom. I'm not talking about getting out there and grind, you know, and trying and putting all this you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about you surrendering your life to Jesus and having that relationship with Him to the point where it's not you, but it's Christ in you. Remember, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You get full of Jesus, you get full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The growth, the fruit, the production is automatic. Can I have a good amen to that? And that's where I'm going to take you here in a few moments. One more thing to leave you with as I kind of set this up here. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. He said, you know, anyone that puts his hands to the plow, everybody say plow. Remember, it's a plow. It's not a cruiser. He didn't say anyone that gets in their cruiser, you know, and chilling out and ride. No, plow. Plow means there's work to be done. What does Jesus say? That the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He says, anyone that puts their hands to the plow and looks back, that means they're not willing to progress. They're not willing to produce. They're not willing to be a productive member in God's society, in God's kingdom. Anyone that puts their hands to the plow and look back, that person is not fit. He didn't say they weren't saved. He just said that they're not fit for the kingdom of God. You know what he's saying? They're not productive. It's the same type of parable Jesus said about the fig tree. All the other fig trees are growing. What's wrong with this one? Where's the fruit? Okay, look, I'll give it one more year. Then pull it up. Put it off to the side. We need to put a tree here that's going to produce. And there's far too many Christians in the body of Christ and people in the kingdom of God. They're saved. They're just not fit. They don't understand the kingdom, its power, its benefits, and what it's all about. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks here at Celebration Church. I'll tell you what, if I wasn't in my restricted preach mode, let me tell you what I want to do on the inside. Man, the Holy Spirit is messing with me right now. I tell you, I would do something. I don't know what I would do. I would jump off of this stage and I would just walk around and do something. Okay, so anyway, the Holy Spirit is messing with me. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let me tell you, we're going to look here. Where Jesus, it's the first time that he uses this phrase here, the kingdom of God, in Luke's gospel. Let me give you a little bit of background here. Make sure that you have your notes out there. Let me give you a little bit of background about what's going on. Jesus has just come out of 40 days of prayer and fasting. How many of you know that's heavy? You imagine Jesus after 40 days of prayer and fasting? He's just come out of that. The Bible says he's coming out in the power of the Spirit. But instead of Jesus going to Jerusalem, I want you to think of Jerusalem back in those days. It was the real hip, the real metropolitan place. You know, all the real religious Jews, the pious Jews, those types of people, they all hung out in Jerusalem. Well, isn't it interesting that Jesus, he's going to begin his ministry here. Jesus doesn't go to Jerusalem. But right there in verse 14, it says that he goes to Galilee. Now, let me tell you about Galilee. Galilee was a region in northern Israel. You can think of the Sea of Galilee. It's a region in northern Israel that butted up to the Sea of Galilee. Galilee was a real, it was just more kind of a raw area, so to speak. It had over 200 villages in the region of Galilee. And Jesus first goes to his hometown, Nazareth. He's rejected at Nazareth. And then he goes up to Capernaum. And he sets up his headquarters in Capernaum, a beautiful beach town on the Sea of Galilee, right there in that region of Galilee. And he's going to begin to kind of go on a preaching circuit in all of these towns, over 200 towns in the region here in Galilee. In Galilee, the people in Galilee, there were a lot of Jews there, but it was more kind of the rough crowd. Come on, everybody say the rough crowd. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like a lot of you. And there was a lot of mixture. There were a lot of Gentiles in Galilee. There were a lot of Samaritans, mixed marriages. A Samaritan was someone that was a kind of half Jew, half Gentile. This is why in the Gospels you see so many stories of, you know, the Gentile woman comes and asks Jesus about this and these Gentiles here. And of course, the story of the Good Samaritan and the different Samaritans that Jesus encounters in the Gospels. This is because he's in Galilee. And in Galilee, they're just all different types of people. Much more raw. This is why you see the prostitutes and those types of people in the stories where it talks about, you know, the notorious sinners, you know, that come to Jesus to hear him and so forth. That's because he's in this region called Galilee. Very diverse, all different types of people, singles, all different ages, all different races, just like I was thinking about Celebration Church. You know, diversity is beautiful, and God, you can always find God in diversity where there's a raw crowd. Come on, can I have a good amen to that? So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you here. You know, there is a, no matter where you come from or what you've done, there's a place for you to fit in here at Celebration Church. And you know, if you think that you're a bad person, I can promise you that there are people here tonight, they are a lot badder than you. I'm telling you, there are some crazy people in this church. Now, we have lots of whatever you want to say, live in the suburbs with three kids and a dog and 1.5 garages. We've got plenty of those people too. But I cannot tell you here at Celebration Church, you just never know who you're going to sit next to. So ladies, I want you to guard your purse. I want you to watch out. But you know what the awesome thing is? I believe that everyone that doesn't know God at the end of this service, they're going to surrender their lives to Jesus. Can I have a good amen to that? That's what church is all about, man. That's what you see Jesus doing. So he's in Galilee and he's in Capernaum. And so great things are happening. You can count if you're following along, you know. He begins to heal people. He begins to cast out demons. A lot of miracles begin to happen. He's preaching now in Capernaum. And in verse 40, it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Can you imagine that? This is a powerful revival going on right here. I mean, amazing things are happening here. And in verse 41, it says, and demons also came out of many. Everybody say demons out. Just put your hand on your neighbor and say demons out. I'm only kidding. Some of you were so quick to do that. You're like, please, please, will you just give me the chance to cast it out of him? No, I'm just. Did any of y'all ever see that old movie? I think it was an old Chevy Chase movie. Demons out. That's where I get that from. It was hilarious. He was a guest healer. Okay, don't see the movie. It wasn't any. But anyway. But these were the real demons out going on. And but look what's going on. These demons are coming out of these people and they say, you are the Christ. The demons are saying this. You are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. So the reason that Jesus is doing this, and you see this through the Gospels where demons, you know, he's approaching someone with a demon and the demon speaks out and says, you are the Christ. What Jesus is doing here, the reason why he silences him is he's not really interested in the demons testifying that he is the Son of God. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wants the humans to testify that he's the Son of God. And so he doesn't want all of these demons being the ones and the first ones that testify that he's the Son of God. He wants to reveal the Father to us, his people, and let the humans be the first ones to testify that Jesus is the Christ. Amen? So this is going on, but now look what happens. In verse 42, it says, now when it was day, that means it was the morning. It says he departed and went into a deserted place. Everybody say deserted place. There's a deserted place. It means he got alone. He got solitude. He got in solitude with God. And it says, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God. There's that phrase. The kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. So imagine this. These incredible meetings are happening here in this town. I'm talking about unbelievable healings, all these things happening. And the crowd is coming to Jesus, and they're basically begging him for more. They're begging him to stay. Incredible things are happening. God loves people. Jesus loves these people. And so there's obviously a pull there on his heart. They're begging him to stay, and there's pressure there. You can think about all the voices from all the different people, and they're saying, please stay here. Let me go over here, and I've got family over here, and I've got relatives over there, and let me bring them here, Jesus. Jesus, please set up shop here. Let's just have a revival here. Just set up camp right here and stay here. And all the pressure and all the voices are coming to Jesus. But Jesus goes and he gets alone. He gets in solitude with his Father. And he comes right back out and he basically says, sorry, guys, I'm leaving. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God. And for this very purpose is the very reason that I've been sent. So I want to just unpack this passage of Scripture for just a few minutes. And I want you to see why it's so important that you hear the voice of God. And unless you're able to get alone with your Heavenly Father and hear the voice of your Heavenly Father, you will only hear the voice of the crowd. You will only feel the pressures of life. You will only hear the voices of all the other voices crying out to you. Many of those things, good things. But unless you learn to get alone with God and hear the voice of your Heavenly Father, you might say yes to the good, but you will miss what is God. And when you miss what is God, you miss the very purpose for why you were sent. So I just want to give you three key things here. If you're taking notes, let's get things right. Let's get in position here to bear fruit, to make progress and advance the kingdom of God. The first thing is, you have to get alone with God. You have to have alone time with God if you are going to understand the kingdom of God. How can you understand the kingdom if you don't spend any time with the King? Here's the difference between our kingdom with King Jesus and a kingdom of the world or a society like the United States. You know, if you wanted to meet with our president, Barack Obama, you would have to like go about 50 levels below him. You would maybe have to talk to the secretary of the secretary of a state representative. Are you following me? You can't get alone time with Barack Obama and talk to him about whatever. Even if you're in a company, you can't just go meet with the CEO. How many of you believe it would be great if you could actually meet with the CEO? He could help you understand what the company is all about. That's why I love that new show. What's that new show? Undercover. Undercover Boss, where the CEO goes undercover and just like gets in the assembly line and the everyday workings of the company. And he gets in there, and when the people meet him and he meets them, they begin to understand so much of the vision and the values and what the company's all about. Well, guess what? With King Jesus, you are a direct report to King Jesus. You don't report to Jesus through me. You don't report to Jesus through anybody else. You report to Jesus yourself. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. And that is the awesome thing about having a relationship with Jesus. Every single day, guess what? Your king is giving roll call. He's calling your name. Are you absent? Or are you present? Because until you spend time with the king, you will never understand what his kingdom is all about. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, until God's kingdom comes in your life. And that starts with that relationship with Jesus, spending alone time with God. God's will won't be done in your life. You have to. That's why we are passionate here at Celebration Church about personal devotions. There are two things to you hearing from God. First of all, being faithful to God's house, where you hear the preaching of the Word of God, and then you having that one-on-one relationship where you get alone with God, where you can hear the voice of the Father. If you don't hear the voice of the Father, you will only hear the voice of the crowd. Pick up that daily Bible reading plan, whether you've got to get up 30 minutes early, whether you've got to get in your car and drive and sit in a parking lot all by yourself during lunchtime for 20 minutes, whether you've got to just tune everything out, put the kids to bed, and stay up 20 to 30 minutes later at night. You have to get alone. You have to get in solitude where you can hear your Father's voice. Can I have a good amen? So hearing God's voice, that's the next thing. Hearing the voice of the Father. You won't be able to separate what's God from what's good unless you hear the voice of your Heavenly Father. See, here's the thing. You might say, well, Stovall, I don't know how to hear God's voice. What does God's voice sound like? Do you know this? When you receive Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. The problem is not that you don't know the voice of the shepherd. It's that you're not spending time with the shepherd. And the voice of God, watch. If you don't hear the voice of your Father, you will only hear the voice of the crowd, the pressures, work, friends, family, all the messages, your own voice, all the stuff coming in. And the voice of the crowd cannot speak to your purpose. It cannot speak to your destiny. The things that are in your heart, your fears, your dreams, your deepest needs, and your deepest desires, there's only one voice that can truly speak to that. And that's the voice of your Heavenly Father. He'll speak to that, and that'll bring you peace. It'll bring you comfort. It'll bring you the joy. One word from God can set things straight that it would, in seconds, that it would take 1,000 years for you to try to work out in your own strength. You know, when I was in after my heart surgery, those first week, really 2 weeks, well, the first week I was in the ICU and all that kind of stuff. And there were some pretty, there was some pain there. And those were some pretty dark nights. And, you think about a lot. And, you contemplate a lot. And you think about your life. And I can tell you that I would never want to go through anything like that again. Can I have a good amen to that? But I'll tell you what, I would not have traded these last 3 weeks the times that I've had with Jesus these last 3 weeks have just been amazing. And it's been none other than the voices, the crowd, the pressures. Understand, when I'm talking about the crowd, I'm not talking about you guys. Do you understand what the crowd is? It's all the voices and the pressures. See, crowd speaks to need. God speaks to purpose. And purpose is your greatest need. These were great needs these people had. Jesus had every reason to stay there and set up shop. But when he heard the voice of the Father, he heard purpose. And that was the greatest need. Those times I've had with Jesus over these last few weeks with the cell phone off and being alone. I mean, some nights in that ICU, I can tell you this, it was nobody but me and God. And it's you and God, and there's no cell phone, and there's no anybody. You know, you don't have to go to ICU to get alone with God. But you know what I found out? Even though I'm real disciplined at spending time with God, what I found out is I had still let too many voices creep in on my time with God, twittering and texting, cell phones, and maybe just not getting in that place of solitude where I could really download God's voice. And it was amazing when I got in that time of solitude how clear the voice of God is. And you know what one thing God told me? Clear as day. He said, Stovall, teach my people how to seek me. They have to hear my voice. It doesn't take a long time. You don't have to pray and cry out to God for 2 hours a day. You just need a time. But that time is nothing but you and God. Can I have a good amen? I'll tell you this. Guess what? No more for me. I feel like the first 10 years of my ministry in Celebration Church, it was like all this stuff going on for me. It was like life with Jesus in the fast lane. You know what I'm saying? Any of y'all are old enough to remember that song? Life in the fast lane. Lose your mind. That's the truth. I thought, you know, it's like I've been life with Jesus in the fast lane. No more life with Jesus in the fast lane. You know, it's life with Jesus in the deserted place. You know, when Moses heard God's voice, he was in the desert. When John the Baptist heard God's voice, he was in the desert. I'm not saying you got to get a machete and go hack your way out in the marsh somewhere. But whether it's in your car, but it's totally you and God. In your bedroom, but it's totally you and God. Will you get alone with God so you can hear the voice of your heavenly Father? Can I have a good amen to that? And the last thing I want to close with this. Here's what happens. So Jesus gets alone with God. He hears the voice of his Father. And that voice speaks to purpose. And that's the last thing. And that's what this leads to, knowing your purpose. The reason why you're here. The voice of the crowd cannot answer the question, why are you here? And when you begin to hear the voice of God, you begin to prioritize and understand your purpose and what you're all about. Real interesting. Jesus, he comes out of this experience. He comes to the people and he says, look, we've seen some great things done here. We've seen some great healings, but you know what? First and foremost, I'm not a healer. I am a healer, but that's not my first priority. Man, we have cast a lot of demons out of you people. Everybody say demons out. I think that's what he would say. I mean, there's a lot of demon casting out and going on here in this region of Galilee. Jesus is like, man, we've done a lot of exorcisms. We've cast a lot of demons. But you know what? First and foremost, I cast out demons, but that's not my primary purpose. He says, we've seen a lot of miracles and I'm a miracle, but you know what? That's not my number one thing. And it would be real easy to do a camp meeting and start doing healing revivals and casting out more demons and all this kind of stuff. But he says, you know what my primary purpose is and why I was sent? It is to preach the kingdom of God. It is the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God, the preaching of the kingdom. That is how the kingdom of God is advanced, and that is what I am all about. And we cannot set up shop here and begin to just have bless me clubs. We've got to go out and reach those people that have not heard. Come on, can you give God an amen to that? And this is what happens. Here's what happens. When the kingdom of God is preached, guess what? Healing is a byproduct. When the kingdom of God is preached, people getting free from evil spirits is a byproduct. When the kingdom of God is preached, marriage is being restored as a byproduct. Salvation, all those things are a byproduct. Restoration is a byproduct. All the blessings, all the miracles are a byproduct. That's why Jesus says, seek first what? The kingdom. It's the scripture of our very mission statement here at Celebration Church. Leading people God first to a God first life, to experience a God first life. Jesus said, you seek first the kingdom of God. And guess what? All these things, freedom, healing, restoration, these are the blessings of the kingdom. These are the byproducts of preaching the kingdom. They are the fruit of the word of God. Let us never forget that it is the preaching of the kingdom of the word of God. It is number one. God's word should be number one in our life. We should love the preaching of God's word. Can I have a good amen to that? Healing and miracles do not happen without the preaching of God's word. Supporting the preaching of God's word should be our number one priority. And we can't ever say, well, man, we've got it good. Let's just set up shop. No, for the very purpose of others, we have been sent to preach the kingdom of God. Why are we building Bay Meadows Road and 9A, that new facility? For the over 800,000 people, the other people that are not hearing the preaching of God's word, therefore they have not entered the kingdom of God. And that breaks the heart of our Heavenly Father. Can I have a good amen to that? So here's what happens. When you get alone with God, when you hear the voice of the Father, here's what you understand about yourself. You're not only here to exist, but guess what? You are sent. Jesus says, for this purpose I was sent. Your whole life will change when you understand that you are sent. I don't know exactly what your specific purpose is about, you know, your career and all those different types of things, but I do know two things about your purpose that are your primary purpose. One is to be a minister. We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation, the Bible says. The other is to be a witness. Jesus says, you shall be, you will be my witnesses. And when you understand tomorrow, when you go to that job site, when you understand that you are sent there by God to be a minister and a witness, everything changes. Teacher, when you go to that school and you understand that you are sent by God to be a minister and a witness. Student, when you go to that class, you understand you're sent by God. Whatever business, whatever profession, when you're cutting that deal, when you're making that sale, when you're whatever you are doing, when you understand that you are sent by God to be a minister and a witness, your whole life changes. Your whole life takes on new meaning. And all of a sudden, because you are sent and being productive in the kingdom of God, then guess what? All the blessings follow. Why wouldn't they? Now you are a soldier in the army of God. God wants to equip you with everything that you need so that you can live your life and have an abundant life because you're a minister and a witness. Seek first, it'll follow. When you're sent, it'll follow. The reason why Christians aren't experiencing the blessing of the kingdom of God is because they're not sent. They are sent, but they're not walking in that. Write this down, the last thing. Your purpose involves progress in the kingdom of God. It involves progress. Will you make that decision tonight as we kick off this series in the kingdom. There's so much more to unpack. We're going to talk about what Jesus said, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. There's so much to understand about God's kingdom. But first and foremost, you have to understand. To understand the kingdom of God, you've got to spend time with the King. Hear God's voice and understand that God wants you to be a productive citizen of His kingdom. Can I have a good amen to that? Let's pray. Father, we come to You.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.